This is Warning Radio with Dr. Jonathan Hansen, founder and president of World Ministries International, a non-denominational end times ministry dedicated to fulfilling a divine commission to trumpet forth warnings from God concerning the imminent second coming of Christ and the impending judgment of God upon the ungodly. God has sent Dr. Hansen to many nations of the world with a solemn warning to the political and religious leaders and citizenry to repent of their sinfulness and wickedness or face the catastrophic judgments that will soon be unleashed upon the unbelieving world. Listen now to the warnings of our compassionate and merciful Creator conveyed through His faithful prophetic spokesman, the host of Warning Radio, Dr. Jonathan Hansen.
Welcome to the radio program Warning with Dr. Jonathan Hansen, founder and president of World Ministries International and Eagle Saving Nations. Today's recording was made January 16, 2010. As Dr. Hansen was in Washington, D.C., with several other prophetic ministers on a prayer assignment for our nation. And today's speaker, Dr. E.J. Buckhart, alludes to this several times throughout this recording. Today, Dr. Buckhart shares a message, What is your faith really built on? Now, let's begin.
Our beloved pastor, we truly miss him. I especially miss him when he's not here because I have to take over some other responsibilities. I believe from what I've heard through the grapevine, I personally have not talked to him. He is having a good time with his Christian friends in the Lord. Jamie talked to him a bit yesterday. Or no, he talked with Len Phelps. What did Len have to say?
He said they were having a wonderful time.
Okay. That's just the report. Now, kind of reminds me of Moses and Elijah. They really didn't want to do it, but once they did it, they were in the battle. And I think, true, I can understand. I've heard pastors say the same thing many times. And once he goes where the Lord wants him to go, he goes. I mean, he doesn't slow down. Can't even keep up with him. So, but that's true. You know, to be called what he's called to do, and I think about all the time, and of course the reason we're here is to back up the prophet, but that is a mighty calling, and it's not an easy calling. And I don't think most prophets like to do sometimes what they have to do. And we know Pastor enough that he's made a comment to us that he had to fast for many times to do things he had to say. So we're blessed that he is there doing what the Lord calls him to do. As I was preparing this message, of course, he told me 4 or 5 weeks ago after I played a tape, he said, you know what we need to do? We've heard enough about the troubles we're facing, but we need to do is build up the faith of this group. And so he's been preaching about faith and trust and all that. And so I'm going to try to follow up on that as much as I can. What is our faith really built on? That's the question we'll try to, we're not going to answer it, but it's, at least we're going to research that area. Is it the trust in his word? In other words, this is the word that we have. Is it trust in the promises that are in the Word? Or could it be trust in who He is Himself? Interesting thought. Or is it the miracles that we see and the answers to our prayer? And I think if we study Scripture enough, it says miracles are not enough. We've seen miracles, but yet we can still, it's just one of those things. The world can see miracles and change them overnight, but the next day, where are they at? Answers to our prayers. Sometimes our prayers are answered. Sometimes our prayers are not answered in our timing, but answered in His timing. And sometimes we still got prayers that haven't been answered, and they can create problems. So where is our faith based on? Because we see a miracle of a little boy walking the next day, see a child come out of the hospital that wasn't able to talk, wasn't supposed to be able to talk and breathe and eat on her own. Now we can't keep her quiet. You know, I mean, that's a blessing. And so, what is our faith really based upon? God, I know, wants one thing from us. He wants our praise, which we've been doing. And how do I know that? It's because if you look what we're going to be doing in heaven, He talks about that we'll be praising, bowing and praising the Lord. So if He wants it up there, He probably wants it down here on this side. So he wants our praise. So we do that. He wants to be glorified. He wants our glory to be of him. And how many times have we heard, you know, don't take the glory yourself, but give the glory to God. He wants us to be thankful. And he wants us to be faithful. So the question is, how does glorifying God, how does praise, how does faith, and how to trust relate to each other? When I was at seminary, when we used to have to preach in front of a group of 25 other students and a couple professors, I said that was one of the hardest things in the world to do because you're going to be analyzed for every word you say. And it was interesting that one thing they told us when we prepared a message, of course, back in the Lutheran days, you had to have 3 points, 1, 2, 3, you know. Anybody's been to seminary or taken homiletics or whatever it's called understands that. But anyway, but we could not use words that could be misinterpreted, such as justification, sanctification. In other words, if you used the word, you had to define it. And that became a challenge because we've been born and raised in the church. We hear these words thrown out all the time. But just because we may understand what the word justification means, what sanctification means, does not mean those people listening understand it that way. So what they forced us to do is to be able to use words, put it in different words. What does forgiveness mean? Forgiveness wasn't allowed a word that you could use unless you explained it. So we had to come up with phrases to define the word. And then afterwards, they would analyze the message and analyze the phrases that you came up with. And so that was always interesting. I never did like it. I've always been a person who's been able to understand anything that I hear. I mean, I comprehend it the first time I hear it. But unfortunately, I've never been able then to take that and to really become a teacher. Now, they say if you really understand it, you should be able to teach it. And by teaching, you learn how to understand it. Yeah, I understand that principle. But, you know, people can come up. I can understand stuff we were talking about earlier. But now that to be able to teach it and to be able to defend it and debate it, I've always had a problem with. So that's probably why it's a good thing that I'm in the position I'm in as not as pastor and became an airline pilot for 32 years. I was able to do that pretty well. But I do have an understanding. There is another thing other than the word, the promises in the word. There's also a rhema word that we've heard about. Rhema word means that's the word that the Lord gives to people in our present time. Now, we've had over this ministry many rhema words spoken by different men and women of God. And this kind of confirms things that are going on because it's been repeated by different people at different times in different areas. Let's just give an example of, we've had a word over us that we, as a ministry, will prosper and be blessed so that we can do what the Lord's called us to do. That our needs will be met and we'll have more in abundance to do what the God's called us to do. Now, we also know that in order to be blessed as children of God, there are some conditions. And that's not the message today, is the conditions that it takes. But as children, we can be blessed. Now, here in Norway, we had a lady who gave a prophecy over this concerning our ability to prosper. We had one in Sweden a day later. We've had Grandpa Hansen showing. I think it was it dollar bills for him? Was that you, Ron? That was Grandpa Hansen.
$100 bills coming in.
Okay, we've seen that. Now, there's three people of God. Ron's also seen it. Sacks of money. And the last week, we had Stephen Ford here, who gave a word for this as well. Okay, now, faith, trust, confirmation. So are we going to sit back and say, well, we have been blessed, don't get me wrong, but we haven't really seen what these people have seen. Okay, so where is our faith, and where is, are we really still believing that this is going to happen, or are we kind of sitting back and say, I don't know? This leads us into the message, and I've changed this three times. I'm going to use as a basis. Actually, when I started out this letter came in the mail from David Wilkerson, so I'm going to use that as a background. Because, like I said before, I have a hard time putting into words what I understand, but there's other men of God I know that put it out and do it very well. And so I'll use him as a background, which I've done many times before. Matter of fact, I've used this before, but it's a different letter. It's called The Right Song, Wrong Side, A Message Revisited for This Time. And he's changed a little bit because I looked at the last one. But the prayer that he has in here to start with is, Father, I have nothing to bring to you but your own word. In other words, something that we can stand on is not what we think, what we believe, but we can stand on what his word is. We can bring the word to God, and if we're crying out to God saying, wait, hey, what's going on here? We can throw the word back at him. That's legal. That's legal in Scripture. Okay? So, Father, I have nothing to bring to you but your own word. You promised in your word that I would be complete in Christ, and that you would keep me from falling, and that Jesus would be my intercessor. You promised you would open my ears to my petition and supply all my needs. O Lord, have mercy and grace on me in this hour of my need. Amen. Okay, this is based on faith and trust. And he uses the example of the crossing of the Red Sea. But prior to that, as I was getting into that message that he has, I started having to go back a little bit. And it's when the Exodus actually begins. Because he starts where they're at the Red Sea, and they start crying out and says, Lord, what do? Are you going to let us die out here in the wilderness? And they start mumbling and complaining, even though they'd just been led out of Egypt and been very well blessed. And remember when they came out, the Egyptians actually gave them jewels upon their request. Moses told them to do. They got jewels and silver and gold and raiment. They were able to bring out all their livestock, and they had found favor with the people of Egyptians that said, get out of here, and we'll give you everything so we won't bring these judgments against us. Because remember, there was 10 plagues against Egypt, and they didn't want them anymore. But as I noted, I had a note here where it says, and he, that's Pharaoh, this is in Exodus 12:13. It said, and he, that's Pharaoh, called Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both you and your children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as I have said, and be gone and bless me also. Now, I've got a note there. It says sixth call. So I started to go back and said, what's this Pharaoh's call? And if you go back to Exodus 8, verse 25, this is the first call of Pharaoh to Moses. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go you sacrifice to your God in your land. And Moses said, it is not meet to do so, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, and as he has commanded us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go then, that you may sacrifice to your God in the wilderness. Only shall not go very far away. Entreat me. That was the first call. Second one is on 9:27. And when I'm reading this, I'm also thinking about we have a prophet who's before our government officials in Washington, D.C., and I'm the whole thing, I'm thinking about this too, how this may relate. Second call, Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough, that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. And Moses said unto him, as soon as I have gone out of the cities, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's. Okay, number 3 is found in chapter 10, verse number 7. And the Pharaoh's servant said unto him, How long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let these men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest that thou yet that Egypt is destroyed? And Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said to them, Go serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? And Moses said, We will go with our young, and with our old, and with our sons, and with our daughters, and with our flocks, and with our herds we'll go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, Let the Lord be so with you, so I will let you go, and your little ones, look to it, for evil is before you. Not so, go not, that ye are men and serve the Lord, for ye did not desire. And they were driven out of Pharaoh's presence. Okay, number four is in chapter 10, verse 16. And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste and said, I have sinned against your Lord your God and against you. Now, I'm thinking again, remember I made a comment about Pastor being in Washington, D.C.? And we know that our country, our leaders, our pharaohs, are totally sinning against God. And if they can get the government to say, I have sinned against you and your Lord your God to go against you and let this country come back to the Lord. This is a prayer. In other words, I look at Pastor and his team that's out there almost being as Moses before Pharaoh. And of course, Moses prayed to the Lord, and he also got direction from the Lord. And I think one of the reasons Pastor is saying what he's saying is that they're getting some real solid direction of how to respond to our Pharaoh at the present time. Anyway, the Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste and said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore forgive, I pray thee, my sins only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that they may take away me from this death only. And he went out from Pharaoh's and entreated the Lord. And the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind and took the locusts away and cast them into the sea. And there remained not one locust in the coast of Egypt. But the Lord then hardened his heart again. So that was the fourth call. Fifth call, chapter 10, verse 24. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, Go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. In other words, Moses said, You can take your people, your wives, and your children, but no flocks. And let your little ones go. And Moses said, Thou must give also us also sacrifice and burnt offering, that we may sacrifice the Lord of God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not be a hoof left behind. And therefore must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come hither. So now he says, Moses said, Nope, not going. The Lord says you're taking your livestock with you. Sure, we're not going. Okay. Then the number six, the last one, gets us to chapter 12, verse 31. And then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron by night, verse 31, and said, Rise up and go forth among my people, both you and your children of Israel. Go and serve the Lord, if you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds, as they have said, and be gone, and bless me. It's very interesting here, as Pharaoh has been in the presence of Moses, the man of God, and he realizes that he sinned, but now he says, I want you to bless me. Pharaoh was looking to Moses, to the man of God, and to the people of Israel, to bless him. Stop to think about that a second. The world that we live in today is looking for us who are the church, we who are Christians, that we can bless them. In other words, they're crying out. Pharaoh cried out, bless us. And so I think that's a very important phrase. As Christians, we need to understand the world is crying out there for us to bring them peace, to bring them joy, to bring them blessings. And we'll get into that a little bit farther. And anyway, then they actually went and received gold and silver and all this, plus all their livestock. And when they left Egypt, they were a blessed people. We in America who have served the Lord have been a very blessed people. But where are we headed? The children of Israel were blessed. They have all of this. They're headed for the sea, to their own promised land. So they're not quite here to the sea yet where they got a problem going to develop. But they were blessed. I believe there's a parallel with our time today, that we are a blessed nation, and we're facing now a wilderness that's coming up, a very difficult time. Are we going to praise the Lord, or are we going to mumble, or are we going to complain? Where are we going to be at? The world's looking at us because they're looking for peace too, the same thing we're looking at. And they're going to be looking to us. And so we have to have that faith and that peace and the joy in times of the troubles that we go through, that they're watching us. They're not looking for our miracles and stuff, but they're watching to see, can we have peace and joy? And if you have that peace and joy, I want it. And that's what the world's looking for. So now we have a situation. But now as they get to the Red Sea, now David's title of this is The Right Song on the Wrong Side. In other words, remember the song is the song of Moses, the blessing song. Okay, but they sang it after they were saved. David's kind of turning and says, this blessing should be on this side because that's where our faith and trust will be shown when we go through that. But what happened when they got to the Red Sea and all of a sudden, here comes this thundering herd of chariots behind them and it was huge. And they said, it would be better for us to have been slaves to Pharaoh than to die in the wilderness. Now they're complaining. They've got all this blessing, but all of a sudden, things don't look good. And they're complaining. What are we doing? Okay. Now, the Lord thus saved Israel when Moses, because Moses had been told by the Lord, just hold up your hands and I'll take care of you. In chapter 14, verse 11, it says, and they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us out to die in the wilderness. For us, it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we die in the wilderness. The church, as I see in America, is kind of looking, maybe it'd be better for us to just do what the government tells us to do than it would be to die in the wilderness. But Moses said to the people, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, this is on this side of the Red Sea yet. The people are complaining. But Moses is saying, the prophet is saying, okay, remember I talked about we've had these prophetic words over this ministry, which would be the same thing. They're saying it. It's there. Moses is saying it. The prophets are saying it. Fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord that he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today shall you see no more. The Lord shall fight for you and shall hold your peace. Now this is the faith and the trust that Moses had that we need to have when we're in a predicament. And I think of Grandpa Hansen right now as he's suffering pain, physical pain. Yet when people come in to pray for him, he turns around and prays for them. I mean, what a witness. Okay, what a witness. I'm thinking about Phil Orne's wife, Peggy. I mean, this lady has been living in pain for 7-8 years. I mean, constant pain to where drugs and medicine can no longer cover the pain. And Phil says to me privately that many mornings he's had to just hold her in his arms and just cry with her. Yet her faith is still strong. A testimony of what, you know, she knows the promises of God. And this is what we need to have as a problem. I'm not asking for that type to have that kind of pain and stuff like people have. I've been blessed. I thank the Lord. But for those that are being tried and being tested, and we all will be tried or tested, but what's your testimony at that point in time? Do you murmur like this? Maybe God still saw the Israelites through it, right? Even though they murmured. But they had a leader who trusted in the Lord and was able to bring them through. And here's what David's saying then. He says, but then he says, Israel saw the great work that the Lord did. Now they're on the other side of the Red Sea. Now they've been saved. And then sang Moses and the children sang the song. And this is in 14:31 through 15. And I was going to take the time to read this, but this is a song of Moses. And it goes all the way through verse 21, really. But it tells the story and how they praised the Lord. The Song of Moses. Now, this is a song that should be sung at all times. Now, the Israelites' song of victory was not sung on the right side, he says. It was on the test, that is, the testing side. When we're being tested, that would be on the other side of the Red Sea. Instead, they sung the song after they saw God's working power, after the deliverance come. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel. Is there anything wrong with that? No. But is that what's really building up the faith, is after we see the miracle. Oh, now I love your God because I just saw him work a miracle. But what about before the miracle happens, when we are praying?
Yeah.
But there's another also interesting one in this, is that God had made Egypt aware of his power. Okay? In other words, he's using Israel to show the world who God is. The Israelites got the blessing of the Lord, but it was used to show Israel the power of the Lord. The church is in this position where we are necessary to show the world who our God is. And so we have to have the trust and the faith and the ability to be able to show the world what is, and then God will work. They had a testimony of God's deliverance, but they did not have the testimony of trust in him. Now, remember, Moses was trusting. He says, fear not, stand strong. The day of the salvation comes. But the people did not have that. Okay? So the testimony is that to have a strong faith, you need to trust in him. Not after the miracle, but before the miracle. Because then the song is not one of faith or trust. It's a faith of, oh, thank you, Lord, for coming here. But now that we turn inwardly. And a point I'm getting at is really what God is trying to say when he creates miracles and deliverance for us. It's to show the world who our God is. So, yes, we get the benefits of the miracle. But the purpose of it is to show the world and others who God is, so they will come to believe and trust in that God, in the mighty God, as opposed to themselves. David goes to say, he says, you see, as far as the Lord is concerned, the time to stand for the Lord is in the darkest moment. It is when everything seems hopeless and when there appears to be no way out, when God alone can save and deliver. Now, where is our faith? Do we have a faith that's strong as this to be able to see that? Remember, I'm thinking now of 9/11, where everybody came out, and after that total destruction, they said, oh, God bless America. Well, my point is, no, it's time for America to bless God. Because God wants the blessing. He will bring blessings and cursings on nations, but what he's looking for is the blessing. So we need to bless God and not have God bless us. Because if God blesses us, and then we just think, hey, boy, everything's grace, I like this, you know, God's on my side. But really, if we bless God, we got to turn it around. We got to put the song, Moses' song, on the other side of the Red Sea. We got to put the blessing on the other side so that we don't receive the cursings of God. Faith isn't really being testified when everything is going smooth. If only Israel had remembered the miracles God had done for them in Egypt. In other words, God had done many miracles in Egypt, but they forgot about them. If they had only trusted in his word, that would have carried them through. They would have established a strong, abiding faith in God, a faith tested and proving through the fire of their predicament. Their faith would have emerged so unshakable, it would have carried them through every hardship of the wilderness just ahead. I've got a circle around here. They would emerge so unshakable. What do we pray for? An unshakable faith. Now, what does Scripture say? I need to have an unshakable faith. So what the point that they're getting at here is, if we have that trust in the Word, trust in the promises, which means trust in God himself, in Jesus himself, then we will have the unshakable faith. And that will take us through our journey, wilderness journey. And as everyone in this room is going through some type of a wilderness journey, and I think America is going through a journey, and it's going to be the church that needs to stand up. And this is why I'm praying so much that these seven men, or whatever they are, or more of them that, are going to have that Moses energy and faith to be able to change Pharaoh's heart. And if God did it before through Moses and Aaron, he can do it through Pastor and these men. I have no doubt about it. So I think we're at a very crucial point. So we need to continue to pray for these men right now. But Israel did not sing. Instead, they pouted. They murmured and complained. That's before the Red Sea. They accused God of neglect. And I got to know that that is a very, very bad omen, is to tell God, what do you want, die out here in the wilderness? You know, not smart move. Not smart move. That's a bad omen. If God does not answer our prayers in our timing, how does that affect us? How does that affect our faith? Even the disciples had doubt and unbelief. So, hey, we're going to have doubt and unbelief. But even throughout the Gospels, we see it, the Lord rebuked his disciples for their unbelief, saying, where is your faith? Ask that question. Each one of us, where is my faith? It's nothing wrong with asking, and there's nothing wrong with crying out to the Lord. Don't get me wrong there. But the question we ask is, where is my faith? Then, when we cry out to the Lord, and there's necessities to do that, after we pour out our heart to him, as even the Israelites did, they cried out their heart, okay? I mean, they murmured and complaining, which was crying out, okay? But what did the Lord do? He still saved them, right? Believe it or not, and they're crying. So we got the right to cry out. But the point David makes here, I think, is real interesting. After we have poured our heart out to him, he then desires us to rise up in faith, face our trials, and proclaim, I can do nothing on my own. God is my strength. Therefore, I will not fear. I am going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I can do nothing on my own. God is my strength. Matthew 19:26. With man, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Now, Mark 9:23, 19:26 says, with God, all things are possible. But then, in 9:23, not only with God, all things are possible, in Mark it says, for him who believes, that's not God, all things are possible. So in other words, that means that you and I also have the ability to do all things. I mean, I think that's encouraging. Okay? So therefore, I'm going to stand still and see the salvation of God. Now, Israel sang the song of victory after their deliverance. They sang it not in faith, but in relief. It was a song without the foundation of trust. In other words, remember we said about the relationship of faith and trust. Trust is where you trust in the promises of God, that trust his word, and when you believe in that, that's the faith that it will happen. So we've had rhemas from the word of the Lord that these things are going to happen for World Ministries International that it's called us to do. So we need to have that trust. It will happen. Now, with God, all things are possible, and with man who believes in God, who has the ability to create all things possible, we can also have it. It is within our reach. And it's not just say, oh, God, I'm just waiting for you to do it. No, God says, if you believe in me, in my words, in my rhemas, it will happen. You have the ability to accomplish it. Now, here's another point. It says about, remember I said that Pharaoh asked to be blessed by Israel, by Moses? The world still demands a song of victory from God's people. This is meant as a challenge to us. What they really want to know is this. Stop to think about what the world really wants to know. And you've got to have friends out there. How are you going to react to the present crisis? In other words, the world is looking at the church to see how we're going to act. We've heard about how your God is faithful and all-powerful. Now, this is what we've, the promises we have, that our God is all-powerful. He can do all things. So they're looking at us to see how are we going to act in these times of crisis. And right now, he says, we're in a terribly hard place. So, will we stop singing? Or do we trust in God in times like these? Before you get into the situation, you sang a song of faithfulness. Was that a lie? Why not now? Has your God changed? Were you singing fables back then? Were your songs of deliverance simply a children's fantasy? Or does your faith hold up when times get hard? I don't believe that this demand by the Palestinians, at this time the Babylonians, he said, was a mockery. I believe the Babylonians, which means the world, wanted to hear a testimony of Israel. Show us a God who has the power to supply hope in dark times. I mean, how many people call in and asking for hope, for peace, to get out of this situation? These are Christian people, but the world is asking the same question. Show us a God who has the power to supply hope in dark times. Is he your God? Why are you weeping now? Where is your peace? Where is your joy? Where is the strength on your behalf? The world needed to see God singing, people singing a song of victory in the midst of the bleakest night. They longed to see a testimony that would speak to their heart, saying, you could show me a miracle, but it wouldn't matter. We don't care about seeing cripple walk and the blind sight. Now he's talking about the world. We only want to see a people whose God is a source of peace when everything else goes wrong. This is the miracle we need. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And when you work in a third world country, now in America we look at prosperity, financial prosperity, having a blessing. And you wonder how these people over there that have nothing can sit there and praise the Lord like you've never seen them praise the Lord before and have nothing in the Western mentality. But see, this is the love of God. This is the grace of God. They have the joy and peace of God that only God can give. But that's what they're looking for the world for. Right now, there's many in Haiti that are looking for some type of peace. I mean, they are in total destruction. I mean, loved ones are dead. I mean, the places are gone. Everything's gone. And they're crying out. I'm sure many are crying out. You know, everybody's saying, well, why did God allow this? You know, whatever the question may be. But still at the same time, what they're looking for is the Christian to come in and say, God still loves you. You can have the peace and joy. I cannot personally give it to you. I can't do that, but God can. This is our God. So this is what they're looking for. This is what the world's looking for. And then in verse in Isaiah 26:3, which you don't need to look to, it says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. This is the supernatural. This is the supernatural. Beloved, the world doesn't respond, and this is what I like, because I'm not a great preacher. Beloved, the world doesn't respond to great sermons. Church programs won't affect them. Even healings have little impact, since they have seen so many miracles in medicine developed in our lifetime. They have seen heart bypasses. They've seen limbs sewn back on, transplants of hearts, eyes, livers, lungs, healings that indeed God's wisdom has made possible. You know, God's wisdom made it possible. But the world hungers is for the sight of a Christian who is being deeply tested, someone who's in trouble, is back against the wall with no way out, and yet he sings. The Christian rejoices, trusting in God. He doesn't complain of the situation. Rather, he sings of the Lord's faithfulness. He trusts not in man, nor in his circumstances, but in God. I always remember Virginia Witcher. Most of you in here knew her. We'd always ask her, how are you today? She's trusting, trusting in the Lord. And, you know, as I was reading this whole thing about, it keeps coming back to me. Trusting. I mean, to me, it was just a simple phrase, but, you know, that was really a, that was a powerful phrase. I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm trusting in the Lord. Can you and I, when times get tough and when we're not feeling good and things are going proud, says, I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm trusting in the Lord. This is the miracle that will win the lost, the miracle of true peace in dark times. Why? The worldly and the wicked are also in a hard place as well as you and I. And they want hope, and they want peace. The songs of victory sung after the victory are not true songs of faith. You see, we experience victorious deliverance. We have a temporary flush of thanksgiving. Right now, we are living in a time of chaos that the world has never seen, and Satan is using fear to torment multitudes. What did Moses say? Fear not, stand fast, look for the salvation of the Lord. We need to listen to the prophetic voices that are speaking today, who are standing up and saying, trust in the Lord, stand fast, salvation is coming, your blessing is coming. And when perfect peace comes, it is supplied by the Lord Himself, and He is pleased by our trust in Him. What pleases God more than anything else? What do you think pleases God? In other words, we're going to sit back and say, Lord, I want to bless you. I want to please you. What do you think God's answer is? What is Jesus' answer? Trusting in Him. And what does that mean? As remember back in the seminary, he said, okay, trust and obedience. Okay, let's explain that. How do we trust and how do we obey? Okay, let's apply it directly to the ministry. Some of the things that we've heard. Thinking of Stephen Ford, the lady in Norway, the lady in Sweden. In other words, this ministry will make it. We will be an influence. We will be able to have a Northwest revival. We will be able to, in God, all things are possible. And to you and I who believe in God, we can have the impossible. Do we really trust in the Lord on this side? Because we're not on that side yet. We're still on this side. So this afternoon, go and read the Song of Moses. And that's the song we need to sing. It's interesting that most services, churches, always start out with praise and worship. I think it's the correct order. I believe it's the correct order, praise and worship. And so now we have to, and the key is the praise and worship comes from the heart, not from the lips. Man's intelligence can do a lot of things. Why can man's intelligence, why can the medical profession do the things they're doing? Because God has given man the ability to do it, to be that creative. I mean, our modern medicine is unbelievable. As David was saying, he really thinks that what the world is really seeking out there is peace and joy. And let me phrase that. What is a goal, whether it's we agree it's correct or wrong, of the one world order? What are they saying? We will bring peace to the world. Now, we know that that's a lie because they can't do it. The only one who can bring peace is the Prince of Peace. Okay? But they're saying this is what the world needs. The world understands that what we need is peace. Peace that you can lay your head in a pillow at night and sleep. That you can walk around in the daytime with peace and joy. We know where that's coming from. So the world, if they really want to find it, is we, the church, has to provide them with the source of peace, the Prince of Peace. And our faith has to be in the fact that we know that the Prince of Peace is the one that can bring the peace, that can bring the joy. So we need to sing the song of Moses now. We need to bless the Lord. He wants our praise. He wants us to glorify him now, no matter where we're at. So how many times have people, and I'll give an example I know of, when you've really had a rough day, be it mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, that you've actually been able to start singing a song of praise and found out, all of a sudden, you feel better. Yeah. Have anybody experienced that?
Yeah.
I wished I could remember the lady on the telephone. I mentioned this before. I've told the story before. She'd call. I mean, man, her. I don't want to be in a situation she's in. But all of a sudden, I says, you know, last time I talked, remember, I said, you know, we just need to praise the Lord. And that came after this letter many years ago. So we just need to praise the Lord. I said, why don't we just start praising the Lord? She starts praising the Lord, and I'm sitting on the telephone. I just hang up. He's gone. And I've talked to her before. And she says, it works. It works. But to find out if it works, you got to try it. As your old commercial says, try it. You like it. So, you know, the God is the creator. And many, many people worship his creation.
Right.
But that's not it. You worship the creator.
Right. The creator.
And we got to remember all the time, it's he who we worship.
Right.
It's not his promises, but it's he who gives the promises.
Right.
That's where the strength comes in. Is he who, you know, you worship he who gives the promises.
Right.
We mentioned the comment in there about, you know, great sermons and miracles and all that. You know, it's interesting that within the church itself, people go to church, they love beautiful sermons. They love sermons. That, I mean, I do too, and I love miracles. But the world isn't in there. They're out there. And they don't want to know about a beautiful sermon. They don't want to know about, well, they may want to know about a miracle if it's to them. But what they want to know is the God that gives you the ability to have joy. And so my question is, and I'm sure I'm guilty of this, is when people look at me, do they see joy in my heart? That something, how can you have that joy? How can you have that peace? How can you smile? How can you laugh knowing that everything's falling apart? And then I don't think it's that difficult for us to explain to the world at that point, well, it's the love of the Lord who I believe is going to carry me through all this. And then they may want that. Well, if they can do it to you, because am I going to do it for them? No. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who's going to do it for them. We don't have to do it. All we have to do is show our life and to speak it. That's all we're asked to do. If we glorify the Lord, we thank the Lord, we praise the Lord, then the Lord will do that for them. That's not our requirement to do that. But do we really truly believe we have a supernatural God? Now, does that mean just because I lay hands on a person, they're going to be healed? That's up to the Lord. It's my responsibility to lay hands and pray, but it's up to the Lord to do that. But can the Lord bring peace and joy through pain? Here's an example. Peggy, Phil Oren's wife. Grandpa Hansen, when he was in the hospital dying, he was able to pray for others. He had that. He showed that. Did it heal his pains? No. So do you kind of get the overall picture here that where we have to go? It's not easy. It's not easy. But what did the Lord say? He says, my yoke is easy, right? Or my burden, how does that go? That's another promise he had. And he says, bring your burdens to me. And I will bear those burdens. So another thing we have to learn to do is to bring those burdens, those aches and pains to the Lord, because he said to do it, and then it's up to him to how he's going to handle it. In the meantime, we praise him. One of the scriptures of Jesus says, there are two great commandments, but one of them he says, Love thy neighbor as thyself, as I have loved you. And that follows in with that. Okay, now as we want to close, we want to pray for Pastor, but this message that we had, I think there's a correlation between Moses and Pharaoh and the Israelites to what is actually taking place in our country today. I believe we have the Moses and Aarons in Pharaoh's offices, standing strong for the deliverance of this nation. There's a lot going on there, and so we need to pray because we know that that city is have a dark cloud overhead, and there is definitely satanic forces that are trying to defeat God's forces. But we don't fear that, right? Because who has the victory?
Thanks for listening to this episode of Warning Radio with Dr. Jonathan Hansen, founder and president of World Ministries International. Warning Radio is a listener-supported program. We need your donations in order to continue airing these Christ-centered prophetic programs. Send your checks or money orders to World Ministries International, Post Office Box 277, Stanwood, Washington, 98292. To donate securely by phone, call 360-629-5248. Visit our website to find other ways of giving and a wealth of information about World Ministries International and host Dr. Jonathan Hansen. The website is worldministries.org. There, you'll also have access to hundreds of previously aired radio programs, made for television videos, thousands of articles, Dr. Hansen's books, and travel itinerary. Again, the website is worldministries.org. The phone number is 360-629-5248. Remember, the Lord is not slow about the promise of His return, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for everyone to come to the repentance that leads to eternal life.